I'm going to ask a difficult question this morning. One that probably most of us don't want to think about and don't want to answer. What are you addicted to? You say, I'm not addicted. I'm not like those people who have addiction. I'm not addicted to anything. Well, let's see. You know, statistically speaking, they say that 40% of Americans will have an addiction at some point. They talk about 8 million alcoholics in America. And they say that more than that, 1 in 8 has a problem with either alcohol or drugs. 20 to 30 million U.S. internet users visited a gambling site last year. $600 billion a year is spent on gambling and $400 billion a year on food. The pornography industry on the internet composes more than half of all of the revenue and far more than half of all of the websites. Sounds like a society that's obsessed with all sorts of addictions. They said, well, I don't do any of those things. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't use drugs. Well, this doesn't even mention those that are addicted to legal drugs, prescriptions, painkillers, mood-altering drugs, Valium to go to sleep at night, and all of those things that people are hooked on. Say, well, I'm not involved in any of that. No, none of that stuff affects me. How about overeating? An addiction to food? But an addiction to gossip? Oh, when I hear something good, I just can't wait to tell somebody. That says 40% are addicted to something. I disagree. I firmly believe that every human being in this world is addicted to something. The question is, what? Are you addicted to something good or something bad? And even things that are necessary for life, even things that are useful and good, can still become addictions that are harmful. Some people are addicted to their families. Some parents are addicted to their children. They will turn against God and do anything for those children. They'll kill for them, steal for them, lie for them, cheat for them. They're addicted to their children. Some spouses are addicted to each other. Now, I know the Bible tells us that we're supposed to love each other when we're husband and wife, but we have to continue to keep things in the proper perspective and then remember God comes first. My wife knew that before we married. I told her, honey, you will always be second in my life. And if second's not good enough, you're going to have to find somebody else because God's got to come first. We've got to understand that. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15, the only time in the Bible that the word addicted is used. And I like this verse. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. In other words, he was the first convert in that whole region. Stephanas. And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. See, they'd addicted themselves to something good. They had addicted themselves to serving God by ministering to the saints. That's the kind of thing we need to be addicting ourselves to. But let's look at some of the things that people are addicted to. We're going to run through these quickly because we don't have a lot of time and there's no sense spending a lot of time on some of these things. Some are addicted to their appetites. Proverbs 23 verses 1 through 3, Solomon warns, when you sit to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. See that phrase, given to? See, when we talk about being given to something, that means we're addicted to it. It means that it holds power over us. And so Solomon's first thing that he says here in Proverbs 23, he says, you better watch out. When you sit down to a big meal, you better hold a knife to your throat. You better control your appetite, especially, he says, if you're a person who's given to appetite. Oh, we know who he's talking about. Some of us have fit in that category, don't we? We just see food. We want to eat it. We are given to appetite. We're addicted to wanting to eat whatever we can get our hands on. That's not a good thing. The Bible talks about those who have made their belly their God. Now, we can't look and say, well, everybody that's overweight, and I didn't mention that in these statistics. There was a big news article on Fox News this week about how Americans are not just overweight, more and more are becoming obese. That means way overweight. We know it. We see it. Some of us are it. Now, there are different reasons that people are overweight. Some people are overweight because they eat prepared foods that are high in fat. Some people have hormonal imbalances. And there are a lot of reasons. But some people are overweight because they're given to appetite. There are some people who could eat one sandwich a day and still gain weight. My dad's that way. My dad hardly—he doesn't eat very much. He really doesn't eat much, but he just—he doesn't get any skinnier no matter what. They go walking, and his body just doesn't use any of it up. It's like he's storing up like a bear storing up for the winter for his hibernation or something. He just doesn't lose weight. Now, knowing that, I know I've got to really watch it, because if not, in another 20 or 30 years, I'm gonna be in big trouble, because I got at least half of his genes. Now, on the other hand, there are other people who could eat and eat and eat all day and not gain weight. You see, being given to appetite, being addicted to food and to serving the lust of your hungry belly, doesn't necessarily only apply to those people who are overweight. It may be that we're just given to appetite of certain things. Now, there are some people who are skinny, but they only eat things that are unhealthy for them. That's given to appetite too. Let's move on. Some are addicted to change. Proverbs 24, verses 21 and 22. Solomon says, my son, fear the Lord and the king. That's the government, for those of you who... we don't have a king, so I don't have to fear anything. No, fear the Lord and the king, the government, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? There are some people whose addiction is to whatever the latest fad is, whatever the newest thing is. I just want to be different. Whatever comes along, I got to try the new thing. They just want to change constantly. Now, sometimes it's good to change. There are some things we need to change. But there are some people who are just given to change. They just don't do anything except change. They're like those that Paul ran across who had nothing better to do than all day but to discuss some new thing. And we live in a society full of those people. Whatever was popular last week is old hat this week, and you've got to throw it off and try something new. There's always a new TV show or a new movie or new food. You know, that's one of the things that frustrates me. Going to a restaurant, certain restaurants that, well, I used to like that restaurant. I liked their menu and I liked what they had. And then I go back, and it's been 3 or 4 years since I'd been to that restaurant. I went back to that restaurant. Oh, yeah, I remember this restaurant. I like this restaurant. Get there. And their whole menu's changed. They don't have the things that I like. They had to come up with something new. New and improved. It's on everything. Constantly. You can't find the regular things that you used to be able to find anymore. It's always something new. You go into Walmart looking for something like you bought last month. And the whole store is laid out different. There's whole new stuff on the shelves, and you can't even find the same brand you had before. Given to change. Obsessed with it. And addicted to it. The children of Israel, they changed gods like some people change underwear. They meet up with this nation. I want to worship that god. We'll worship this god. We'll worship that god. And God tried to tell you, you need to quit changing. Stick with me. Don't be addicted to change. Solomon said, their calamity shall rise suddenly. You can't keep changing constantly. You've got to have something stable in your life. And there are those who are given to changing the gospel. Paul says, they give me another gospel, which is not another. He says, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, if we try to change the gospel, let him be accursed. There's some things that should never change. Then we see that some are addicted to fornication. For those of you who don't like big words, fornication just means sex outside of marriage. And there's some who are addicted to that. Jude 1 verse 7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So he lumps homosexuality in here as well, because homosexuality is a form of fornication. But sometimes we may be repulsed. Oh, that homosexual, I can't, oh, that's not right. Well, true, it's not. But heterosexual fornication, those relationships outside of marriage, those aren't right either. They are a perversion of what God designed. One man and one woman in marriage. That's what He designed. That's what He planned. And anything else outside of that is a perversion. And some people are addicted to being involved with those that they're not married to. And I'm going to tell you, young people, when you are looking for a mate, you find one who is keeping themselves pure, and you keep yourselves pure. Because let me tell you something. If that man, or that boy, or that girl, if they ran around all over sleeping with everybody like the dogs in the neighborhood do, before they married you, what makes you think they're going to quit just because they married you? And if you're running around with everybody and anybody, what makes you think you'll be able to quit when you decide you're going to get married? It doesn't work that way. You keep yourself for one person, like God said. Do what's right. Then there are some who are just given to wickedness. They are just addicted to wickedness. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 8 says, there is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And when you're given to wickedness, it can't deliver you. Being given to righteousness, on the other hand, can deliver us. Now, it won't deliver us from physical death, but it can deliver us from spiritual death. So we need to be sure we're addicted to righteousness and not wickedness. We need to understand how wicked some people are. The prophets talk about those who stay up late at night and get up early in the morning, and before they even get out of bed, they're thinking about how they can spend their day wickedly. They rise up early in the morning to start their wickedness. There are some of us who get addicted to wickedness and all kinds of wickedness. Then there are some who are addicted to pleasure. If it feels good, do it. You've heard that one before, haven't you? Isaiah 47, 7 through 9. And thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart. In other words, Isaiah says, you know, the Lord's been prophesying to you, warning you about what's coming. And you said, no, it's never going to happen to me. I'm going to be a lady. You know, when and I know we talk about a lady being just someone of refinement. But at that time, a lady was a wealthy lady, wealthy woman, who had all of the dainties and all of the luxuries that wealth entails. And so he said, I'm going to be a lady forever. So you didn't listen. Neither didst thou remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear thou this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thy heart, I am and none else beside me, I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantment. He's talking to a whole nation here. But the application is still to us. If we're given to pleasure and we think we're going to get to always enjoy all the wonderful things, it doesn't work that way. Hard times are coming. And I'm not specifically saying, it's just nature that we can't always have everything good happen to us. There are going to be troubles. And we better be prepared for them. But we live in a society that's given to pleasure. I saw a story or heard it on the radio, a news story a couple of weeks ago. They said, we got this recession going and even Walmart lost money this past holiday season. It's bad when Walmart loses money. And so they said, is there anything, any industry, is there anywhere where the recession isn't hitting? And they said, there's one, video games, entertainment, pleasure. Here we are, people talking about, we're getting our house foreclosed on, we can't afford to pay our car payments, we can't even afford to buy food to eat. But guess what's booming? Video games. Escape from reality. Oh, let's play. Let's enjoy pleasure. Let's entertain ourselves. And it's not that there's anything sinful in and of having some entertainment, some relaxation. It's not. But it's when we get to the point where we're so addicted to it that I heard a story of this couple let their baby starve to death while they were playing video games. They were addicted to that entertainment source, to that pleasure that they were getting from that, so much so that they didn't even feed their own child. That's sad. But there are those who are addicted to all forms of pleasure. That's all they're interested in. Then there are those who are addicted to covetousness. Covetousness. Now what is covetousness? Covetousness is basically just greed, wanting everything that everybody has. The old saying, keeping up with the Joneses. Gotta have, if my neighbor buys a new car, I gotta buy a new one that's better than the one they got. If my neighbor gets a new dress, then why, I've gotta get a new dress and a hat. We've got to outdo each other constantly. Got to have anything we see we want, we got to have it. Covetousness and greed. The Bible tells us that covetousness is a form of idolatry because we are worshiping things rather than God. Jeremiah 6, verses 11 through 15, God talks about how furious. He says, therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding it in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together, for even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others, and their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. From the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely. But he said the whole nation is just given to wanting everything. Covetousness. Gotta have it. Can't live without it. Madison Avenue tries to push that on us all the time with their advertising, don't they? Oh, here's this. You can't live without this. Live my whole life without it up till now. Why can't I live with it anymore? Why can't I still keep living without it? Nobody had a cell phone. Now all of a sudden, 8-year-old kids got cell phones and they can't live without them. What? How did that happen? And now, just having the cell phone itself isn't good enough. You got to have one that can take pictures and play music and you can watch TV on it and search the internet on it.
Where's all this come from? We got to have it? Never had to have it before?
And I understand that there are advances and there are things that are beneficial. I was glad when we were in our car wreck several years ago, but I was glad we had airbags. Those were real nice. Never had them before, but it was nice to have them when we got in a wreck. But there are so many things sometimes, though, that really are not even important. But we've become addicted to them. And we think we've got to have them. Can't live without them. We need to realize that the only thing we can't live without is God. Then there are some who are given to wine. In 1 Timothy 3 and also in Titus 1, both those passages talking about the elder or the bishop of the church, they're to be the kind of individual who is not given to wine. That indicates then that there must be some people out there who are given to wine. Oh, sure, we know that they're alcoholics. They're addicted to alcohol. They're given to wine. But as Christians, we are not to be given to those things. And then some are given to idolatry. Acts 17 and verse 16, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Everywhere he looked, there was an idol on every street corner. We said, wow, we don't have many idols. We're a Christian nation. We don't have a lot of idols. Yeah, we do. We just don't call them that. Well, maybe sometimes we do. Sometimes I know we use the term idol to talk about, you know, just somebody that's popular, like American Idol. But sometimes I really wonder about some of those so-called heroes that we have, whether it be a sports star or a music star or actors or actresses, all the politicians, even, you know, whoever we admire. Sometimes I really wonder about what those individuals become idols that we worship. And I don't necessarily mean you do, but people do. People will go to extraordinary lengths for those individuals. Just to get to see them. Just to get an autograph. Why? Somebody that I don't know signs a piece of paper and puts their name on it and that's somehow special to me? Why? Why? But we are sometimes given to idolatry. Maybe not. We may not have a stone image that we bow down to like the people there did. But sometimes it may be that we're given to the idolatry of false worship. We may not be worshiping God according to Spirit and truth. We may be following man's ideas. Then there are some who are given to money. Titus 1:7, again, speaking of the elders, he is not to be given to filthy lucre. That indicates again that there are some who are. There are some people whose only purpose for living is to make money. That's what it's all about. Now, whoever gets the most money, that's how you know if you won or not. And they even have lists of the top 50 richest people, and I don't care. What? Because let me tell you something. Whoever dies having amassed the greatest fortune, guess what? They still die. And when they get to judgment, they can't use any of that money to buy off the judge. It won't matter. It doesn't matter if you die with $50 billion in the bank or 50 cents in the bank. When you die, what matters is how you lived your life. Whether you obeyed Christ, whether you had faith in Him and trusted in Him, served Him. Well, let's switch gears real quickly and look at three and a half. Some are given to hospitality. Romans 12:13 says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. When's the last time you were hospitable to somebody? I mean, when was the last time you just had somebody over? And you said, well, my house isn't very big. I can't have the whole... You don't have to have the whole church over. You don't have to have a big... When's the last time you had anybody over? They said, well, I can't afford to buy any, a big meal. have some chips and a cup of coffee. You know, you don't have to outdo it. Hospitality is not about the things that you have, it's about the relationship that you have. When's the last time you welcomed somebody into your home? And you said, well, my home's not, nobody want to come to my home. Oh, sure. People. When's the last time you spent time together in fellowship? Being hospitable. You don't have to have a lot. You don't have to be rich. The people in the first century weren't rich. Christians in the first century didn't have much to share, but what they did, they shared together their time. And they shared their homes. Then we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5, and also in Acts 6 and verse 4, we see the ideas of being given to fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. Those are some good things to be given to. Now that doesn't mean, you know, when we say given to it, that, I mean, obviously fasting is not something you're given to every day. It wouldn't last very long. But have you ever even tried fasting? I know there's some who health reasons that they cannot fast, but you know, for a lot of us, we could. We say, I never even thought about doing something like that. Why not? All through the New Testament, we have several examples of Christians in the New Testament fasting. Why have we not ever thought about that? Because you remember those that were given to appetite? You know what one of the ways to conquer that is? Give over to fasting. Exercise that self-control. Allow God's Spirit to have control of your body instead of your body to have control of your spirit. Now, both of those, your body and your spirit, are God's. And I don't mean God's like little G plural, they're God's. I mean they belong to God. God owns both your body and your spirit, so you need to take care of them for Him. And then there are those who, as we saw earlier, we saw those who were addicted to the ministry of the saints. But then there are those who are given to God. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5, he says about the churches of Macedonia, how in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. When was the last time you tried to give and the church had to, and the church was saying, no, no, we don't need any more, and you had to beg them to take it? The Macedonians wanted to give so much, Paul was saying, no, wait a minute, you know, I don't think you give this much. And they were begging him, no, please take it. That doesn't happen very often, does it? Usually it's the other way around. Somebody begs, come on, please, give it. You know, but these folks, but why were they that way? Why were they begging them to take the gift? And he said, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. There's the key. If we're not addicted to God, we are going to be addicted to something else. You're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20. We read earlier, 1 Corinthians 6:12-13, the scripture that was read for us. He says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know, alcohol can be a very useful thing in certain medications. And Paul told Timothy that, you know, you take some wine for your stomach's sake. We know, you know, there's certain medications that have alcohol in them for those medicinal purposes. It's lawful for us to take medicines that have alcohol in them. But I'll not be brought under the power of any. And some people do get addicted to any number of things. All of these things can, that they get addicted to them instead of being addicted to God. We need to replace any of these bad addictions that are in our life, whatever it is that we are putting it's damaging us. We need to put them away and replace them with an addiction to God. God created us to want to worship and to serve something. He created us to worship and serve Him. But within each of us, there is that desire to go out and worship, to devote ourselves to someone or something. And if we don't direct that in the proper direction toward God, then we're going to misdirect it at either another person. We talk about those who are addicted to their families or friends or whatever. Or we're going to direct it toward our own selves, those who are given to appetite and to pleasures and to greed. Or we're going to direct it at something else. Those who are given to drugs and alcohol. There's going to be something in our life that's going to take first place, and it's going to take priority over everything else. We need to make sure it's God. What about you this morning? I know you're addicted to something. If you're not addicted to God, you need to change your addiction. There was a song out, I guess, probably in the 80s. I don't know exactly when it came out. They said, "I want a new drug." And you know, one that won't leave me with the hangover or the, you know, with the, he said, one that makes me feel like I feel when I'm with you. Well, apparently he had found his new drug. His new drug was his girlfriend. So we need to look for a new drug, a different drug. We need to look for an addiction that does not cause us harm, that in fact only benefits us. An addiction that does not cause problems for others, only brings good to them. And there's only one addiction like that, and that's an addiction to God. Are you addicted to God? Like the house of Stephanus, addicted to doing good and serving God in whatever way they could. Now, in their case, they ministered to the saints. In Paul's case, he was going out as a missionary preaching here and there. In Peter's case, he was addicted as he was an elder in the local church. In Timothy's case, he was a preacher. You know, there are all sorts of different things that people did. Aquila and Priscilla, they gave their house up for the church to meet in. There are lots of ways that we can show our addiction to God, but it's always with righteousness, not wickedness. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation this morning for any reason, whether it be an initial obedience to Him, start that addiction today. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're willing to repent of all of those past addictions that you have and turn to Him, confess Him as the Christ, and be willing to be baptized to wash your sins away, He'll take you and He'll work on changing you to have the kind of addiction you ought to have. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you've allowed yourself to get sidetracked and fallen into worshiping someone or something other than God and allowing yourself to become addicted to that, you may need to respond as well as we stand and as we sing.